Lord, you're a good and a mighty God. And it's wonderful, Lord, to know that you're there, that you are the I Am. And that here this morning as we're gathered in your name, Lord, that you are here with us, Lord. Father, we need your Holy Spirit, Lord. We can't do anything without him. He is your presence on earth in these days, Lord, and we thank you for him. Holy Spirit, we want you to touch our ears, anoint our ears so that we can hear your word. And Father, for myself, Lord, I pray for clarity of mind, Lord, and for your word to be imparted to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how are we doing? I hope you're all reasonably well. We've no right to be otherwise. At least as we know that we've got some answers if we have some problems, don't we? As I said this week, it's been one of those the Lord slay me, yet will I praise him weeks. And there's probably always a few people on a Sunday morning, just by the law of averages, that may be feeling that way. But Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And church isn't about just friendship. It's not just about meetings. It's not going through any kind of religious routine. A Christian is someone who has a dynamic relationship with God. And by dynamic, I mean a living one. Something where God makes a difference. That when we pray, he hears us. And it's all about our relationship with him. And as a church, if we ever lost the fact that in the center of everything is Jesus and our relationship with him, we have nothing, do we? We'll just be going through a religious routine and just become an empty shell as a church. And may God have mercy on us that would never happen. It's all about our relationship with him. And so we've been talking in these past few weeks about Jesus' solution to prayer. Because when the disciples came to him, and I hope you don't mind me repeating this, but when the disciples came to him, having seen his amazing prayer life, they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And what was his answer? Just check you're there and you've been listening these last few weeks. What was Jesus' answer when they said, Lord, teach us to pray? What did he say? Yes, please.
Pray like this, our Father.
That's it. Pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven. Let's say it, okay? It's all there on the prayer wheel. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Fantastic words. Timeless words. None of Jesus' sermons, if you read them from beginning to end, ever would take more than about 5 or 6 minutes to read through. And yet they're so incredibly profound, aren't they? And today, we've got as far as give us today our daily bread. Last week we did forgive us our debts, so we skip one and we come back to it today. And so it's all about daily bread this morning. Give us today our daily bread. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 11, which is one of the two places in the New Testament where we find the Lord's Prayer. Now, last week, I don't know if any of you actually did your homework or even thought about it, but I did suggest that we might think about where God has answered our prayers, okay? This is for you to say where God has answered your prayer. Just think of something which has really meant a lot and made a difference, where you've prayed about something and something has happened as a result of your prayers. Because if you read through the Bible, and particularly the Old Testament, you find that as they are praying to God, as we've seen before, they magnify his name. They say, oh Lord, the awesome God, The God who has made a covenant with his people, the God who is loving and kind, and they recount all the things that he is. But they also recount all the things that he's done. You are the one, Lord, who led us out of the land of Egypt, who caused us to cross the Red Sea with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. You're the one who took us into the promised land. You delivered us from the Ammonites and the Moabites and all the rest of the ites. And they recount to God the things that he has done. And when we pray, we need to remind ourselves what God has done, because it builds faith into our lives. So I want some of you this morning, is there anybody who'd like to just kick off with just something where God has answered their prayer, okay?
Far too often when I pray in London, I have like a backup plan in case God doesn't answer. That's how strong my faith is. So I'm always thinking, okay, if this one doesn't get answered, then I'll have to do this. I'll have to be nicer or work harder or something. But I was on holiday this year with my best friend abroad, and we went for this massive long hike up a mountain and all this stuff. And we came out back in the wrong place. We didn't know where we were, basically. And we came up to this river that we knew had crocodiles in, so we couldn't swim it. And our bags were kind of like 2 hours or something where we began, waiting for us, and some bloke waiting for us to take us on somewhere else. So it was kind of 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was going to get dark about six. And so me and my friend said, oh, we better pray. And it was one of the few times when there was nothing that I could do. You know, I could have no backup plan. There was nothing. There were no people around, so we just prayed for a boat. And then I felt real peace because I couldn't do anything either way, so I was just going to have to wait for God to do it. And so my friend got really stressed out because she said that God never answers her prayers for something so obvious and practical. You know, she prays really vaguely and generally so that she can't really tell whether God's answered or not. But this was like a real definite, we need a boat. We need a boat now before it gets dark. And so we waited, and there were some kids further up the river, and we called out to them and they couldn't hear. And then about an hour later, a bloke came like near the children, got in a boat, and then went off the other way up the river. So that, you know, we're still waiting. And then a boat came, and there was a man, and he said he'd take us where we needed to go.
How exciting. Of course, if you don't do things as exciting and adventurous as Felicity, then you're never going to get that kind of prayer answered. But what I like about it was that it was specific. Her friend said she didn't pray about practical things, but daily bread is praying about the things that affect us today. It's that kind of thing. There was someone over here. Louise?
Yeah, I was going to say about when we moved to our new house, Felicity, Karen and I, we all had prayed and we really believed that God wanted us to move nearer to all the things, nearer to the church, nearer to Felicity's school where she does, you know, lots of things with teenagers. I wanted to be nearer Kiln Place. So we had a very specific place we wanted to live in. Of course, when we came to look at to rent somewhere, we discovered that we live in one of the most expensive parts of London, and we couldn't afford to live anywhere. I mean, we'd go to estate agents and they'd just laugh at us, really, with what we could afford to rent. But we just really believed, we knew that it was God, and we just had to hang in there. And we were just looking, we knew we couldn't afford somewhere with three bedrooms and a lounge, so we were just praying, we need a big kitchen. And then we can have people around. So we just need a big kitchen. So we were really praying for that. And we looked at so many places that just weren't any good. I mean, we even put a deposit down on one place, and then someone came along and offered more money, and they took that. And after we stopped planning revenge tactics on the estate agent and the landlord and everything else, we realized that we just needed to keep praying and really trust in God. And the funny thing is that God always often comes in, it seems like, at the 11th hour. I don't know, he sort of pushes you to the limit sometimes, because it was kind of the last week that we possibly needed somewhere. Karen was going off on holiday. You know, we had to find somewhere this particular day. And we just saw this place where originally they said they didn't want three people, they only wanted two. And I was just chatting to Carol and discovered she knew the landlord, so she put in a good word for us. And the estate agents were really good. And we got this place, and it's in the exact spot where we wanted to live. It's for the price that we could afford to pay to the pound. And it's got a huge kitchen and huge bedrooms. I mean, we couldn't have found anywhere more perfect.
That's great. That's daily bread, isn't it? On that day, they needed something. And to me, My faith in God has definitely increased as a result of what I've been through and where I've found God in particular situations. And like the children of Israel would talk about how they crossed the Red Sea, I've got my own Red Seas and my own promised lands where we faced almost impossible situations and God has helped us through. Joe, would you like to share in a minute? I'll say a little bit, and then if you're still around, okay? She's not feeling very well. But I know that Joe's got a lot to share on this, so we'll trust that she can do it. Okay. Right, let's just have a look at this passage then, Luke 11. This is the continuation of the Lord's Prayer. It says at the end, "And lead us not into temptation." Then verse 5, "Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been shut and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And I just want to share a few reasons from this passage why we don't get our prayers answered. Why we don't get our prayers answered. I believe that God always answers prayer. He always answers prayer. But we don't always like his answer. There are 3 possible answers I think he can give us. He can say yes, he can say no, and he can say wait. And sometimes he says yes straight away, which is great. Sometimes he just says no, and we've got to face that. And sometimes he says wait, and often he says wait, because he's wanting to build something in us and do something in us in that waiting period. There is nothing like the waiting period for God to build character and perseverance into us. One reason why we don't get our prayers answered is we don't believe God is a friend. In this passage it says, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight. Well, this guy wasn't a very good friend, was he? But he was a friend. And our revelation of God, who we understand God to be, builds faith into us, doesn't it? And that's, I believe, why this give us our daily bread is lower down on the list. Do you remember last week we talked about the 3 things, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you, that in our prayer life we start with Jesus. And as we begin to thank him, that builds faith as we thank him for the things that he's done for us, the blood that he shed for us, the fact that he is our Father, that he loves us. And then as we fix our eyes on him and we start to praise him and worship him for who he is, as the things we've talked about, as Jehovah Yireh, the God who is our provider, as our victor, as the Almighty God, as God Most High, and we start to magnify his name. And I've often thought of it this way, as a magnifying glass, that we come into God's presence with a magnifying glass on our problems, and our problems and our situation seem so big and our problems seem so powerful. But as we get the magnifying glass out and we start to magnify the name of the Lord, then he becomes big in our estimation, and our problems become small, and our faith grows. And as we approach it that way, and as we start to delight to do his will and submit to him and pray for others, by the time we get to praying for ourselves, there's a good level of faith just because we've approached prayer God's way. Another reason we don't get our prayers answered, first of all, I said we don't have a revelation of God as our friend, as a blessing God, as a kind God, a loving God, is we don't ask. In the book of James, it says this makes this very pertinent comment. It says, in James chapter 4 and verse 2, "You do not have because you do not ask." It's as simple as that. We don't have because we don't ask. Sometimes we don't ask because we're too lazy. Sometimes we don't ask because we don't think God will answer. And we've got discouraged, but we don't get because we don't ask. It's as simple as that. You don't pray, you're not going to get answers. The third reason is that we're not specific. And as Felicity and Louise were praying for specific things, they weren't just getting up in the morning and saying, "Oh, God, bless me. Bless me today." I pray that actually. I believe in experiencing the goodness and trusting in the blessing of God in every area of my life. I believe in that. But we're talking here about specific things, coming to God with specific things. And here it says, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Specific things. He knew exactly what he needed. He didn't go and say, "Give me 10 loaves, or "I need some bread," or "I need some food." He said, "I want 3 loaves. So when this guy fell out of bed and reluctantly went downstairs to the larder and got the bread out, he'd know exactly what to get. And God likes us to be specific in our requests, so that when we get specific answers, then we can give him glory. Another reason is we don't persevere. And this guy, he was determined not to get out of bed. "I've gone to bed. Me and my family, we are in bed. Go away." That was his response, wasn't it? And Jesus uses this as an example. There's another example. I'll just read it out to you. It says in Luke 18 and verse 1 to 8, it says, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And I feel this is the main thing God wants to get over this morning. This thing of perseverance, okay? They should pray at all times and not lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who didn't fear God and didn't respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling. But afterwards he said to him, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly." Interesting, isn't it? So because they didn't persevere, that's why they didn't get their prayers answered. We need to persevere. And Joe's going to say a little bit about that in a moment. And another reason is that we don't understand what God is like. Because he's not like that bad friend. And he's not like the unjust judge, is he? He's a loving father. Going back to Luke chapter 11, and it carries on, and it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And that verse means literally, ask and go on asking. Seek and go on seeking. Knock and go on knocking. It's the, I believe it's called the present continuous. It's a going on. It's not just ask once and go away. It's ask and go on asking. And one of the things I love about the Lord's Prayer, because it is a daily prayer. We know it's a daily prayer because it says, "Give us today our daily bread." That we can ask and we can ask and we can go on asking. Ask and go on asking. And then it carries on and it says, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Sorry, it says he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or, if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? My son's always asking me for eggs. He thinks I do a good poached egg. So every morning, "Dad, can I have an egg?" So I understand this one, and I've never given him a scorpion yet. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And in Matthew 7:11 it says, how much more then will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God is good. And as we have a revelation of his goodness and his kindness, then that will encourage us to pray the more. Joe, would you like to just say a little bit? Joe's looking a bit groggy. It's not because I've punched her, okay? I just want you to know that.
It's
my swollen tooth. He stole my notes, actually. Took my notes, yeah. No, when we were talking about this, Nick just said, would I just sort of say a tiny bit, which is more in the way of a testimony, really. I shared before that I started to pray this Lord's Prayer and as my main sort of way of praying about 2 years ago. And it's completely transformed the way that I pray. And I would say I've seen answers like never before. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is I've seen answer after answer as I've really prayed. And particularly as I've prayed that your will be done, your kingdom come, and give us this day our daily bread. And as I've learned to pray for something and go on and on and on praying for it. As I started to pray the Lord's Prayer, I would say I did it every day more or less for about 3 weeks before anything changed or anything happened. And I think this is where we so often fall down, is we start to pray and then we give up. And I think often that's quite an English thing as well, is we tend to, you know, if somebody says you can't do this, you can't do that, we just say, oh, yes, well, that's fine. Whereas other people say, no, I refuse to just accept your answer, I'm going to have it anyway. And in some ways, definitely, the Bible encourages that kind of attitude, particularly to do with prayer. And after about 3 weeks of really praying this prayer, something started to happen in me, and I knew that the Lord was really sort of working me in a new way. And then answers started to come, very specific answers to things that I had prayed for before in a casual kind of way, but not with this kind of, I am going to pray and I refuse to give up. And it's just been so encouraging to do that. And I used to think, really before I prayed this, you know, we share something with somebody, don't we, say at the end of the meeting, and they say, well, I'll pray about that, or could you pray about this? And we tend to talk about prayer sometimes as if it was just sharing, just talking to God, and he's sympathetic, and yes, you know, I'll tell him about this. He won't do anything about it, but he'll listen, and it'll make me feel better to tell him. And this has revolutionized that, praying this, because I've seen that not just is God sympathetic, but he is wanting to answer us and give us very specific answers to the things that we pray. It's just been so brilliant to do that. Particularly, I would say, we found real financial answers as we've prayed for the business. This thing that it says, ask and go on asking and go on asking and go on asking. It's this continuous present, as Nick calls it. That is the tense. And we have a son, right, who asks and he goes on asking and he goes on asking, okay? We have a daughter who doesn't ask for much and is incredibly content, but we have a son who asks for the world on a regular basis, okay? And it's interesting this bit that it's the son who's doing the asking. But God says, as far as he's concerned, that that is a good thing. For us, it's very wearing to have a son. I guarantee you this morning he asked me for at least 4 things this morning. Can I have this? Can I have an egg? He's always asking us for eggs. Can I have an egg? Can I have a poached egg? You don't do eggs as good as Dad does. I need Dad to do my poached egg for me. You know, can I have this? Can I have that? But this is a good thing as far as God is concerned. He wants us to ask and go on asking and go on asking. I just wanted to really encourage people that where you've asked for something and you think, well, God hasn't answered me, you need to go on asking and go on asking. And I think what happens is either the answer will come and God will answer what you've prayed, or he will show you within your own life something, you know, that he wants to change in you, or that he's, you know, going to guide you in a different direction. But we need to have this sort of passionate, I refuse to give up, I am going to see an answer. And the person, just finally, who so encouraged us with this has been Prince Barr. I don't know, some of you don't know him, because there's some new people here as well today. Prince Barr is an African guy who God has used in a big way out in Ghana. And as a young man, he was picked out by an older Christian guy, a guy called Benson Idahosa, and he took him back to Nigeria to live with him in Nigeria, and he sort of trained him up in Nigeria. And Benson Idahosa was a guy that God had used massively in Nigeria, and Prince worked alongside him and was part of the Bible school and everything out there. And then he felt he should go back to Ghana. And so everybody said to him, well, you must go to the capital, you know, you must go to Accra, which is like, you know, that's the sort of important place to go to. And he felt God had told him to go to Swedru. And Swedru, I haven't been to Swedru, although I've seen pictures of it, but if you say that to Ghanaians, often they'll laugh, because it's like a bit out, it's like the back and beyond, okay? It's not like the happening place in Ghana. It's like this place sort of quite a long way inland, away in some ways from all the action. So Prince went there with his wife, and his mother-in-law. Yeah, that was, oh, his brother. Oh, his wife's brother. Sorry, his brother-in-law, not his mother-in-law. So they were there, and there were three of them in the church in Sweju when they went back. And there were three of them, and there were three of them, and the church didn't grow, and there were still just three of them in this church, okay, very little church. And he started to pray, you know, and say, well, Lord, were we wrong? Was it wrong to come to Sweju, you know? For about a year, there was just them. And then the Lord showed him this thing, which Nick, I think, shared last week, this thing that when a woman is having a child, they tell you this thing, push. And when they push, and the baby is literally sort of pushed out. And he felt it stood for pray until something happens. And that's been so helpful. Pray until something happens. And I think so much of this, give us our, this day, our daily bread, is this real, I am going to pray until something happens. I will not take, you know, no for an answer. I want to know, Lord, why you're not going to answer me. You know, are you saying something different? But I am going to pray and I'm going to expect answers. And that's the biggest thing I feel that this passage is saying. And when we did the Intimacy with God Day about 3 weeks ago, John, who came and spoke at that, shared that 40% of what is said about prayer in the New Testament is in the context of this thing of persistence. And I think that's something that we really need to get hold of. And if we will do it, God will answer us. So just to really encourage people, where you've prayed and it seems like he's not answered, try what Prince did. They prayed until something happened. And something did happen in Sweju. And there's, I don't know, 1,800 in the church, and it's growing, and there's all sorts of stuff that's happened out there. Amazing things, because they refused to give up, and they could very easily just given up. There you go.
Thank you, Joe. Sorry to steal your notes. Yeah, I think we've covered quite a lot of different things about why our prayers aren't answered. Perseverance is a big thing, and I felt really convicted. I find that some of the bits of the Lord's Prayer I'm quite good at, in the sense that I enjoy, you know, that part, like the first two bits. I've really learned to enjoy thanking God and really praising him for who he is. But even the next bit of praying for others and praying that his kingdom will come in the lives of, you know, the lifeline and people in the church and people at work and whatever, you know, praying for his kingdom to come, interceding. But actually praying for specific things, I had to rack my brain thinking, what prayers have you answered, God? And I realized actually that most of the things that God has answered for me have been very big things that have taken a long time to answer. When my business was going through the recession, I remember we had years, this 5 years of making losses, I don't know what it was. The business should have collapsed in a heap long before it did. But by the grace and mercy of God, we staggered on, sometimes by our fingernails, and it worked out. And during that time, sometimes I thought I believed it was right that the business should carry on. Sometimes I thought, you know, it's not right. And I went through all this torment. And through it all, I had things that God gave me during that time to hold on to, a particular psalm about, which talks about how the fishermen go out into deep waters, and it says, and the waves rise up to heavens and then they fall down to the deeps. And that's what the business seemed to be like. So most of the time it seemed to be right at the bottom of the trough. But during that long time, and then finally seeing God do something and bring the thing through, just gave me a great undergirding of faith. So if it's been a long time for people, and I'm talking years here for things, don't give up. Let's stick at it. And I just felt, you know, that this is an area where I felt I needed to repent, actually, and say sorry to God. Lord, I'm sorry that I've given up praying about some specific things. And maybe as individuals this morning, there's something of that we need to do, you know, in relation to prayer, where we've given up. We've got discouraged, or we're just too lazy, really, to get down to it. So, we don't believe, we don't ask, we're not specific, we don't persevere, and we don't understand what God is really like. Sometimes we're just disobedient. There's an area of disobedience in our lives. And we need sometimes to question ourselves when we're going through something. Is there something God is saying to me? Now, this is a dangerous thing to do. Partly because it's very easy for the devil to get on the back of that and start
chucking all sorts of rubbish at you from the past and things, oh, I knew, always knew that was wrong in my life, and I'm the most dreadful person that's ever existed, and, you know, and get yourself in a real, like, mire. But that's not the point, really. It's just saying, God, are you saying something to me in this? Jo said to just she's been had plenty of time with her tooth in pain to pray during the night. A verse from Proverbs which said this: "Does if you close your ears to the cry of the poor, the Lord will not hear you." And it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And if there's something we're holding on to, and we know God is speaking to us, maybe it'll take a sin or something that is going to take time to get through, then don't worry about like instant victory. What God wants is for you to say, yes, I know you're saying this, Lord. I'm prepared to put it right. I need your help. Just get your will on his side. And don't block the way for prayers to be answered. The Bible says that if husbands are mean to their wives, then God will not listen to their prayers. And if we're mean to one another, and we talked about this, that if we don't forgive each other, God will hand us over to the torturers. Matthew 18. Now that is powerful stuff, isn't it? You know, is that in the Bible? Is that in the New Testament? It says, "My heavenly Father will do so to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." And maybe you're on 439 times of forgiving, but you've got to keep on forgiving in order that God will answer your prayers. So I don't say this to condemn you, but let God search your heart and say, if there's something you're saying, Lord, that's stopping you answering my prayers, put your finger on that thing. And I've had to do the same for that. In fact, you know, I had to do something this morning that I said, I felt God, before I share this morning, I want to put this right, because I know that if you teach, you get judged more than other people. So I try to keep on the right side if I can. Okay, I just want to finish this morning with a wonderful verse in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read this to you out of the Living Bible. In fact, even better than that, I'll put up an acetate for you, because you haven't got your Bibles. I don't read the Living Bible much, to be honest. But it's great to read something different, isn't it? To really get the meaning of something. We get used to scriptures and we think that we're doing them because we know them. But this is what it says here. Philippians 4 verse 6. Yeah, first of all, in my Bible, and I read as a study Bible, use the New American Standard Version. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's one thing in there I particularly like. It's this bit, let your requests be made known to God, which doesn't actually come out so much in the Living Bible translation. When you pray, let your requests be made known to God. Now, one thing that Jo didn't mention, but I know is a problem for her and was a problem for me. In the background that we've been brought up, we were taught, if you don't pray in faith, you're not going to get your prayers answered. Okay? And that, to me, became a major stumbling block in my mind. Okay, I don't believe God's going to answer this prayer, so I'm not going to pray it. So you don't pray because you don't believe. But my Bible says, I think it's in Romans 10, it says faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the word, that thing, by the word of Christ, is the spoken word of Christ. Faith comes as God talks to us. Faith comes as we read the Bible. Faith comes as we recount what God has done in the past. Faith comes as we magnify God for who he is. Faith comes. And just because it's not there in the first place, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Because faith comes even as we pray. Faith comes. The very act of praying what you don't really believe will bring you into more faith. So I just encourage you, just pray, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't say pray in faith. In this instance, it says, just let those requests be made known to God. You may be think you're asking for something that isn't in the will of God. Just let your request be made known. You're not sure whether it's right or not, whether he wants you to have it or not. Just let your request be made known to God. He'll show you in the end. Another fantastic verse. It's in Psalm... I wrote it down. Psalm 37 verse 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay? Now there's a condition to this. God will give us what we want when we do what he wants. Okay? First we delight ourselves in him, then even our desires seem to get matched up with God's desires, and he gives us what we want. This friend of ours, John Badkin, that Joe mentioned earlier, I remember I used to share a house with John, and I remember getting back from work one day, and he said, I was just working this afternoon, and I just thought I'd really like a Yorkie bar. And you know, he said, Martin, who was also staying with us at the time, he came back from work, and he thought on his way back, I'll just buy John a Yorkie bar. And it just, you know, sometimes the Lord just hears the desires of our hearts. That even what we desire is a prayer. And he gave him exactly what he wanted. Now that doesn't always happen, but it's nice when it does. But the more we delight ourselves in him, and we want what he wants, the more we will find he's giving us what we want. Because we're wanting the same things. When I married Joe, I couldn't believe that God could give me someone so nice. Seriously. I couldn't believe that he loved me enough to give me what I wanted. I really wanted to marry Joe. But there was a fear inside me. And I didn't understand God. I didn't understand that he loved me enough to give me, in that instance, the desires of my heart. He had to deal with the fear which came from a misunderstanding of God's nature. Because the Bible says there is no fear in the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. One night, I was just praying with Jo. She was at Exeter University. Just the presence of God came into the room. And I lay on the floor and I sobbed and I cried. It was so embarrassing. The floor was wet with tears. And all I know is at the end of it, my fear had gone. I don't think I even told Joe what it was all about. But God loved me and took away the fear. So understanding his nature can help our prayer life. I don't know why I shared that, but I did anyway. So there you go. Okay, Philippians 4. Let's go back to this one. Let's have a look at the Living Bible translation. Don't worry about many things. Is that what it says? It's God the extremist here again, isn't it? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So God is interested in everything. As we're thinking about things. Helped us when Roger Mitchell came and he talked about praying what you think. I don't know what to pray about today. So what are you thinking about? Well, just pray about what you're thinking about. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. So just remember that one. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And I like that so much that I put it on this little prayer card, okay? There it is. If all you're doing is all you've got time to do is just pray the Lord's Prayer literally. That's the top bit. If you've got a bit more time, you can surf the wave, okay? And when you come here, you're surfing. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, okay? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And I've just written down here just one or two little suggestions along the lines that I've talked about. When you pray, first of all, thank him for what he's already given you, for promising to meet all your needs. The promise of blessing. Benny Hinn told this story when I was listening to a tape he'd done on the Lord's Prayer. And he told a story the day before he gave this talk. He was sitting at a table with his son and his family. And his son said to him, give me ice cream. Okay, you know what sons are like. Give me ice cream, he said. And so Benny Hinn said to his boy, "You can have the ice cream when you've finished your vegetables." And he said, "Give me ice cream." And he said, "No, when you've finished your first course, you can have the ice cream." And he didn't want this first course, so he never got the ice cream, as far as I know. And that's what it's like with us, isn't it? That God is committed to meet all our needs. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your needs." He will meet our basic needs. But if we want to get into the desires, then we have to delight, don't we? We have to obey to get the extras too. The promise of blessing for specific answers to prayer. Talk to him about the things on your mind. Make specific requests. And I put here, and this is the typo on this card, open bracket, you could write them down so that you can tick them off and thank him when they are answered, and there's no end to that bracket. You could say that's creative license, but actually I forgot. Okay? But we can write down the things. Some people have these prayer books, and they write down things, and then when they get the answers, they can thank God for them. Okay. I think it would be really good this morning if we could just do some of this and just pray together. Maybe we could just split up into twos or threes. Just find somebody near you or a friend or whatever. If you haven't got a friend, you can come to the front and I'll talk to you. And we're just going to pray about not everything, but just something. Just maybe one or two things. Mention things that you want answers for. So shall we do that now? Let's just break up now and we can pray for each other for God to answer these prayers. Can we do that?
When we were singing at the beginning of the meeting, just had this picture of a bunch of grapes, green grapes, really, really simple picture, really. But the thing I thought the Lord might be saying through it was that, like, they were really pure, perfect grapes. You know, they were so perfect. They were so lovely. But that we sometimes we see something, we think, oh, that can't be for me, that's too good, you know, it just looks too nice, and God doesn't want to give me that. And I just felt he was saying, no, it is, that's what the grapes are for. They're for it to be eaten or to be used, you know, and for us not to think that way.
It's good. Obviously God's talking about that, isn't he? About God giving us nice things because he loves us. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Okay. Did you want to share something, Raven? You're looking eagerly towards the microphone. Okay. Before we just break into it, I'm going to just pray, because I think it would just be good for an opportunity to say to God, Lord, forgive me if I've not prayed, and help me to be encouraged again to pray. Father, we're just coming into your presence now, Lord, and we thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you that we can just come any time into your presence, Lord, by your blood, Lord. As Daniel said, not by our good deeds and the things that we've done, Lord, but by your grace, Lord, we come to you. And Father, we just ask you this morning to forgive us, Lord, where we've stopped praying, either because we can't be bothered or because we've got discouraged, but for whatever the reason, Lord, forgive us today, Lord. We confess our sin to you, Lord, and we receive forgiveness for that, Lord. Just wash us in your blood. We pray, Father, for a spirit of encouragement, Lord, to fill our hearts, Lord, and the church, Lord, to encourage us to get up again, Lord, and to make our requests known to you. Amen. Okay. So, just pray in ones and twos, and then when you've finished, you can go and get a cup of coffee and talk to your friends.